Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this edition of Inside Scoop Live. This is one of many features presented to you by Reader Views. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Hello, and thank you for tuning in. Today I'm chatting with Judy LeBlanc about her great book, Many Faces to Many Places. But before we dive into her book, I'd like to tell you a little bit about Judy. She is an honored member of the Cambridge Who's Who, Toastmasters International, the Arizona Authors Association, and the Arizona Publishers Association. Judy was born in Rattoon, New Mexico, and was raised and educated in Albuquerque. She is a graduate of San Jose University in San Jose, California, where she did her graduate work in industrial psychology. Whoa! Before marrying, Judy made a career in the defense industry, and after extensive travel, she and her husband retired to a small town in Baja, Mexico. During the 19 years of living in Mexico, Judy wrote the English column for a magazine published by the federal government of Mexico, as well as the English column for a state-published newspaper. She also taught English both at the high school level and at the university level in her community. And then, shortly before returning to the United States, Judy completed her fourth and favorite work titled Many Faces to Many Places. Some of her other works include Things My Father Never Taught Me, The Compromise, and The Unveiling. Judy, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Gail, and thank you so much for having me on your program.
What a delightful background, and of course, we could do a whole interview just on your background, couldn't we?
Every time I hear the background, I keep thinking, they're talking about somebody else.
No, darling, it's you.
You know, when as you're going through life and you accomplish things, you don't really think about it. You just keep going and doing, and then all of a sudden you stop one day and you make a look back and see everything you've done, and you just think, oh, my goodness, I did all that?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't seem possible sometimes.
I know. And that's a lovely part about this whole thing. But, Judy, as we get underway here, tell the audience a little bit of the essence of your book, Many Faces to Many Places.
I love that word, Gail. The essence. That's one of my favorite words.
It's a good word, isn't it?
It's a good word because it's one of those esoteric words.
Mm-hmm.
Essence. It's almost like air.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain air? The essence of Many Faces to Many Places is a soul. It's the essence of a soul and the growth and the process and the universal callings that each one of us, I believe, is innate.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us to stop and smell the roses, if you will, and question. Just stop and question life and question the meaning of love, the meaning of happiness, the true meaning of why we're here, those kinds of things. And so the essence, the whole essence of the book is Many Faces is the character, of course, and as she's going through her journey, she stops and she questions all of these, what I call universal truths.
Mm-hmm. That's okay, and you're so right about that because it is really what life's about, isn't it?
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a whole lot more than what we've been taught to believe.
Well, it is. It's a whole lot more. It's a whole lot more than about getting married and having children and developing a career and then having the children leave home and having an empty nest experience, which seems to be what we sort of wait for to propel us into that deeper and greater search for more meaning about our lives, huh?
Well, Gail, I believe that it's not our fault. You know, I don't mean to say not take responsibility.
Oh, no.
But you know, as we're growing, that's really what our education and our society has taught us. In fact, one of my other favorite words is the definition of success and the essence of it. What does that really mean? We're taught by society to believe that success, to be successful, you must do, and then they hand you this entire list of criteria. You have to be educated. You have to have a beautiful home in the middle of of the high pricey neighborhoods. You have to have two cars at least, for sure. And of course you have to be up on all of the latest technology and toys. And of course, the way you dress for success. Your appearance means everything to the world, you know, so you have to dress for success, so when you walk out into the world, they look at the way you're dressed and immediately, without thinking subconsciously, because we've all sort of been programmed that way, they look at you and they think, well, she's really successful.
Or not, depending on the dress.
Exactly. I know. There's a few times I just walk out there with barefoot and torn cut-offs and an old grubby T-shirt, and I'm just totally ignored.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I know. I've experienced the same thing. And it's a mistake. It's a mistake to think that the veneer is all there is.
Exactly.
And that it tells the whole story.
Exactly. And so I believe that it's up to us, it's our responsibility as individuals to really be autonomous and to stop, and each one of us take the bull by the horns, if you will, and say, hey, wait a minute. That's your definition of success. That's not my definition of success.
That's right. We get to have our own definition, don't we?
I get to have my own thinking. I get to define who I am.
That's right.
I'm not going to let you define who I am.
That's right. I'm going to
define who I am. And that's what Many Faces is all about.
In fact, is that why you wrote it? I mean, it's your fourth book, right?
It's my fourth book, Gail, yes.
Mm-hmm.
It's really my favorite work, too. I just love that work. And I think probably because of the place, I love that, the place that I was at when I wrote it, which was in Baja, Mexico, of course. But it was a God-given opportunity, by my standards, to be fortunate enough to have no stress in my life, no worries, no problems, no complications, and be able to, and the town was a really small town, and absolutely no one spoke English, and there was no entertainment, so I spent most of my time just beachcombing and taking in the breathless smell, the breathless views of nature and the smell of the air, and then you just become a different person. And I was very fortunate to be in that place. And so I began meditating on all of these different little important issues, I believe, that are important to everyone, and started journaling.
Wow.
And then after I finished journaling, I turned it into a book.
That's really beautiful, and that really is. We really are called to do this. I think a lot of us ignore the call, and sometimes I think that life and God have a way of pitching in a few little 2x4s to try to get our attention to get us back on that journey. And sometimes we ignore them, and sometimes we don't. And along the way, some people get kind of lost along the way, don't they?
That's interesting that you mention that, because in Many Faces, the second part, it's a three-part story, and part two is called The Lost Kingdom.
Oh, okay.
And the character does exactly that. She takes the wrong path. And I have, I don't criticize anyone for taking that wrong path, because I was there too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it would be to criticize myself, which we can do sometimes. It's sort of okay. I'll criticize myself. You don't have to bother.
and yet, it doesn't serve a good purpose to become judgmental of others, let alone ourselves.
Right. Because we're innocent to a certain extent, in as much as we are so bombarded with what we are by society standards. It's the standard of society. And as soon as the standards of society change, then we change. And in the meantime, if you are struggling to define for yourself what is important to you, what your priorities are for you, for yourself, what path you decide to change, to follow, and not the path that everybody tells you to follow, then you become a rebel. because society isn't there yet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. But I made the same mistake. I was programmed to, in order for you to be a successful person, you have to do all these things. And that's really why I went into industrial psychology, because at the time it paid more. Corporate America paid twice the amount that anybody else did if you had a degree in industrial psychology.
Wow.
Because that's corporate America. They can afford that.
Now, did you do that before you went to Baja?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did. And so I had that big, you know, beautiful house, the dream house, if you will, that
mm-hmm.
you're programmed to visualize and have your home and be under the obligation of the banks and the creditors and spend all your time and effort maintaining and painting and fixing and decorating and, you know, buying and you know, and then you would have parties there and everybody would think, wow, you really have the world by the tails. You know,
right.
Inside you're dying. You're looking around and you're going, oh, what are they talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, tomorrow this house could burn down.
And
where am I?
And it can happen in a flash.
It can happen in a moment.
That's right.
That's why it's almost earth-shaking. It's almost when somebody pulls that rug out from underneath you and you don't have a foundation for yourself. You haven't built... an inside thing, you know, that you can rely on when
mm-hmm.
the outside is devastated.
Mm-hmm.
Then what will happen is what happened during the Wall Street crash back in the 20s. Everyone
mm-hmm.
just jumped out of windows
mm-hmm.
because that was their whole security, their confidence, their everything.
And we've seen some glimpses of that in subsequent stock market. Extreme gyrations, haven't we?
Right. That and New Orleans.
That's
and,
right.
And the tsunamis and
that's
the earthquakes.
Right.
And those
fires.
Are just outward, I believe, this is my opinion, I believe those are all outward signs of the universe saying, hey, wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Wake up, because that's really not where it's at. Sure, we all need a roof over our head. Absolutely. Sure, we have to. We have to progress, not digress. But it's an inside priority attitude more than anything else.
Well, I like that, and I think you're so right about that, Judy. And I want to go back to the way the book is broken down, but before we do that, I want the audience to know that Many Faces is the name you gave your main character. That's a name. And that name represents, well, it's a her. You've given her a gender. And it is the search of the soul,
right?
Okay,
right.
And so then in the three parts, of course, the first part reflects the upstages of life,
right?
And the second part, as you've already said, reflects the down stages of life,
right?
And then talk a little bit about the third part, called the time of reflection.
The third part is actually the most powerful part of the entire book, because Many Faces has experienced both the up and the down.
Mm-hmm.
And so she has gotten to the point where she has time to reflect on everything that she did right and that she did wrong. And in her case, there was because of who she was and because of the essence of the soul in general.
Mm-hmm.
There's a section in the book that says we are all one body clothed in flesh. And so when I was writing that, I was actually realizing that we're just a spirit, and so there's no gender to the spirit. And so to distinguish ourselves from one another, I just call it, you know, God has dressed us in these different bodies with different colors, and magnificent, different colors and different sizes and different it's almost like going into your closet and picking out a wardrobe, having a wardrobe and going out and picking a different dress for the day.
And it is, and isn't it unfortunate, though, that we seem to have come along with and we're exercising judgment about those different styles, those different body styles and colors and everything else.
Yeah. And if you could just stop and breathe in and stop and look out and realize that we are all connected. We are connected to one another. We are a universal community. We are one big giant closet with all these different delicious and beautiful colors of different clothing to put on our spirits so we can see each other and not run around naked, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But that's an allegory. The whole book is an allegory, so it makes it more fun to read.
Oh, and you know, this is a great point for you to tell the audience that you've just won some amazing awards with this book. Please, share that with the audience.
Oh, thank you. It's amazing to me, to be honest with you, because I didn't realize that it was going to be received so well. Because when I write, and I tell this to all authors and all writers, write from your heart. Write everything that you can from your heart first. And then, after you're done with writing everything from the heart, truly from the heart, go back and then rewrite it from the head. And that's what I like to do. I don't like to write to an audience. I don't like to write things that people tell me that I need to write because it'll make money and because that's what the commercial market wants. That's what Random House is looking for. That's what, if you take your focus off of what is coming from the inside of every individual. Every person has a story.
Mm-hmm.
Every single solitary person walking the face of this earth has a story. And those stories are very interesting and wonderful and unique stories because we're all so unique. And in the writing world, my criticism is that the commerciality of it. We're being taught now, unfortunately, and this is another thing that I'm going to say to the audience, make sure that you're autonomous.
Mm.
We're being taught that you have to investigate what is going to be accepted in the commercial market. You have to write what is a hot issue for today. You have to... And you have to have absolutely, positively, at least minimum 50,000 words or nobody will even look at it. Of course, my book is only 30,000, and it was rejected several times. But that was okay because I was secure in the fact that one of my favorite authors who wrote Jonathan Livingston Seagull, I sat down and I counted the words in that book.
Really?
And there's only 7,000.
And it's a powerful little book.
It's a powerful book that just went crazy. And Richard Bach, the author, was rejected 265 times for the same reason. That's only 7,000 words. We can't. What are we going to do with that? And as I was sending my manuscript out, they were coming back with the same thing. Yeah, we only want 50,000 words. Of course, when I first finished the manuscript, written from the heart, it was about probably 55,000.
Mm-hmm.
But then when I went back to rewrite it from the head, it turned out to be half because most of it was repetitive and fluff and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And I accept the fact that publishers today are commercial or they're in it for money, and that's their whole idea, and that's what part two of my book is all about.
Mm-hmm.
How people relish, put that up on a pedestal and worship it as a god. And I would just say back, I said, well, gee, thank you for reminding me that 30,000 words is not enough for you. But let me remind you that Jonathan Livingston Seagull was an international bestseller, and it only had 7.
Did you get a response to that?
No, but at least it reminded them of it.
And you know, Judy, as you were saying all that, I couldn't help but think about the fact that rejection is not always a bad thing.
No, you know, I have always said that. I've always said, and bad publicity is not a bad thing.
No,
I tell my friends there is no such thing as bad publicity. Well, it doesn't exist. It's an oxymoron.
There you go. There you go. That's right. That's right. And when it comes to so-called rejection, that's always, that is such a subjective arena. It's somebody else is exercising a judgment over something that you have done.
Right.
And of course, we're not talking about everything. Obviously, there are certainly, there are always consequences associated with choices that we make. But in this arena, what we're talking about is this, not only this, but like we, as we were talking a little earlier about body styles and body, you know, being rejected because our skin might be one color or because our body might be a different size or because of whatever, or our eyes might not be just whatever it may be, and or to be rejected because we've written something that is definitely worthwhile, but a lot of the arena that we send it out into, it doesn't fit their template. And frankly, that's a compliment that we don't fit their mold.
Thank God.
That's exactly right.
There are some publishers' names I really wouldn't want my book associated with.
Right. There you go. There you go.
You know, if they want quantity as opposed to quality, that's fine.
That's right. That's right. Now, Judy, though, you didn't mention the award you've won.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I got carried away there, didn't I?
Well, that's okay. That's all right. That was something
I started out to say that I didn't write to any specific commercial market. I wrote from the heart.
Right.
And so I didn't really expect what is happening with it, and it has won two Best Inspirational Book of the Year awards.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
It has won third place in the general fiction arena, which is a much larger arena, and that's, I'm pretty proud of that one because it's not as narrow as the inspirational, and it has won two honorable mentions at book festivals, one in Los Angeles and one in New York.
That is so wonderful. Now, there is part of the reward is that kind of recognition,
right.
about the fact that the message you're trying to convey is apparently being understood by some, maybe
exactly.
even many.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So that is wonderful. Congratulations on
thank
that.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you so much. I'm sort of awed by it myself.
Well,
I love the book.
I can tell that you do, and I can't wait to read my copy of it. I can't wait to. Well, Judy, we're getting close to running out of time here, but before we do, would you tell the audience your website?
Yes, my website is the title of the book. It's www.manyfaces2, and that's T-O, many places.
Perfect, perfect.
.com.
And tell the audience, too, where they can go to buy the book.
The book is available at any online and offline bookstore. It is distributed through Ingram's at the moment, and so you can buy it at Borders or order it at Barnes, and it's at Amazon. And in fact, if you just Google the book, it'll give you a 10-page choice of where you can
find it. Fabulous, fabulous. That is wonderful.
I thought that was pretty fabulous myself.
Really. And I want everyone to know that there will be an author's page created for Judy LeBlanc, LeBlanc, on www.insidescooplive.com. Where you'll be able to listen to this interview or share this interview with friends and family. Also, www.readerviews.com and www.manyfacestomanyplaces.com will have links to this interview. So I want to encourage everyone out there to take a look and take a listen and consider purchasing this book. It sounds like a reminder of what we all may really need in terms of inspiration to get back in touch with who we really are meant to be. And Judy, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you, Gail. Thank you for having me.
And audience, thank you for tuning in to this segment of Inside Scoop Live. I'm your host, Gail Campbell. Until the next time, bye.